Welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. This is your host, Lucinda. And tonight I'm going to do something a little bit different. For those of you that know that we are also Plexus ambassadors. And Rob and I take care of a Plexus business that we are currently looking for partners to join us. But we just wanted to share a little bit about the convention that we went to last week. We spent the whole week in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. And, you know, this is our third Plexus convention, and, you know, we watched the growth of this company, and it's just amazing that the Garden Center at the MGM Grand was packed. We had about close to 12,000 ambassadors at the convention this year, so it was really amazing. We had some great key speakers, great MC, and just great leaders. We learned a lot about the products and the new products. And what I want to share with you tonight is just, she's hilarious. If you've ever heard Rita Davenport speak, she likes to put a lot of humor in her education. So what I want to play for you tonight is most of the speech that Rita gave us during the convention. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing in life or where you're at. Everything that she says pertains to you, pertains to all of us. It's about having fun. It's about doing what you need to do to make a change and to be successful in your life. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and put on Miss Rita Davenport, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show listening to her speech.
Social media quotes. That's pretty good. do that for yours, too. May your life someday be as perfect as you pretend it is on Facebook. Don't make Facebook Wastebook. Do not waste all your time pretending to be what you're not. And y'all, be yourself. Be yourself at your very best. If you're not being yourself, you're going to mess up trying to be somebody else. Do you know what the cause of low self-esteem is? It's when you compare yourself to somebody else. Every day I get up, I know that there's somebody smarter, better looking, better figure, more, whatever. So what? So what? I don't compare myself to them. I sit over there and I watch Dexter up here and I thought, oh my God, I don't have that kind of, you know, speaking skills and all that. What in the world? I can't even go out there. And then I got these shoes on. Anybody's an idiot to wear shoes like that. You just see these shoes? Crazy. I walked out here in tennis shoes. Simple, you know. You know, but we decided backstage that would probably look better if I wore these shoes. Is it worth it? You go to every meeting you can. You constantly listen. Now, by the way, you're here to learn, but bottom line for this whole life we have, I interview Billy Graham. Ever think about getting to interview Billy Graham? He said, John, he was so handsome. I hope God forgive me for thinking it, but... Blue eyes, and I kept trying not to pay attention to that. But I said, sir, what amazes you most about life? He's in his 90s now. And he said, the brevity of life, brevity of the time we have together. We're here to learn. You know, when people ask me the secret of my marriage, y'all, you have to keep up because George Burns taught me to start a story and then go over here with it. And just to make sure, Dave, would you be ready for what, how you keep it? Okay. Before you marry a man, you don't know he's going to eat an apple where you can hear it 2 miles away. You don't know he's going to get up 5 o'clock in the morning and go play golf and eating that cereal bowl and rattling that bowl and waking you up. You don't know that. Before you marry a man, you don't know he had gas. We dated 6 years. It must have been backed up to his ears. A week after the honeymoon, the canary died. There was a mushroom cloud over our apartment. You ladies, if you got a good husband, keep them, because they're so hard to train. You love him before another woman does. Because to every woman with a headache, there's another with aspirin in her pocket. Got to say this about that, too. I think it was Renee, that one of your speakers on video, and came on, I think I've met so many people, but Husband was a physician assistant, wanted to retire her husband. Is the water leaking? Just a little bit? Oh my God, I see it. It wasn't me, I swear to you, I didn't. Mikey, I wouldn't have done that on stage. I've done a lot of things on stage, but I would never. You know, when I laid that down, hold on.
Like when people ask you to do something you know you should be
working your Lexus business instead, and how you try to be so perfect and keeping your house perfect and you're in qualification for the next level. You could say, eat off my floors when I was building my business. There was ketchup, mashed potatoes, and pork and beans. I clean my oven when you can no longer get a cupcake in it. Irma Bondage taught me so much as a friend and neighbor. You know, your true worth in life is dependent on your network. Your network. And your network grows and expands as you grow and expand, and you love on people, and you make people feel good about themselves, because everybody's got an invisible sign, and it says, make me feel important. People in your business will work harder for praises than they will for raises. We and James are, go ahead, that's a good song. We and James' father's psychology was on his deathbed writing his final book about man's search for meaning. And somebody sent him a pot of azaleas. And he was writing a thank you note. And he said to his research assistant, oh my God, I just realized what man's search for meaning really is. It's to be appreciated. It's to be loved. We have gratitude. Please and thank you are the most powerful words you can teach your kids. Please and thank you. Thank you. I brought out part of this success kit that I want to show you, because when I saw the thank you cards in the success kit, I went, yes, these people know what's important. But Irma Bombeck was amazing. And I read, and I had asked her once to be on my TV show, kind of last minute, somebody canceled. And she said, oh, Reed, I'm working on the deadline for my book. And I said, oh, I wouldn't have bothered you, Irma. Honey, when is the deadline on that book? And she said, 6 months. 6 months. She said, you could catch up and come down and be on my show too. She said, oh, no, no, Rita, it's going to be the best. It's the best time taking my writing out of it. See, you've got to decide what's best for your business right now. Do what you don't want to do for a little while so you can do what you want to do forever. Do what you don't want to do for a little while so you can do what you want to do forever. And I said, I wouldn't have bothered you. I'm so sorry. And she didn't come on my show, and I still loved her. She's still my friend. I forgave her. She taught me how to say no to demands that are made on you to take you away from your focus. And then I read the paper that her advance, her last advance on her book, before she even wrote it, was $14 million. I called her and I said, Irma, I'm so proud of you. You know what? I have never been jealous of anybody else's success, ever in my life. I don't have that gene in me. Some people, and I'm going to say, women, sometimes we can be, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to explain that. I take on a full football team before I take on one kicked off woman. I said, Irma, I'm so proud of you. $14 million, how does that feel? What did you got a $14 million check for? Yeah. She said, Rita, I'd rather have a kidney. See, Irma was on dialysis and died of kidney disease. I never forgot that. Put your hand back here right now. Kind of padded. You got a kidney? You got $14 million for somebody else. Worth. I'm back going over on the other side. Is that two? Ooh, two kidneys. What is that worth? And if you're a woman, one time they born without any arms. Or she was paid to have arms to hold her baby. Love on it. She had to put her contact lens in with her feet. She could do that. One of these parts worth. Somebody stole my cell phone at the airport one time. I was on my way to speak for 17,000 people in St. Louis. Everything was in that phone. Hotel, agents, everything. I was hysterical. I was ticked. I'm not even going to tell you how ticked I was. I want to revisit. I was sitting at the gate waiting to get on my flight. There's a man over there missing an arm. I went, I looked down the way and there was another man that was missing a leg. And I was missing a phone. And I was wailing and gnashing my teeth over a lost phone. I could replace it. I know it's challenging. But y'all, love what is. What is of the many blessings that we have. That's what's important. You're going to have to focus on your business. You've got to focus on the business, and you get what's called an illumination, which you're going to get ideas. The courage I talked about in this business, you're going to get a lot of no's. How many have had no's? You know the people that have had the most no's in this business are the ones down front. Y'all are the biggest losers ever. Biggest losers ever. If I sat and interviewed you and I asked you how many people said no to you, it's much more than no's in the back. I mean, this is the way it is. When people said no to me, I bust out laughing. I bust out laughing. Guess that what's funny? See, I teach with humor. I wrote a book called Funny Side Up, because you got to look at situations and you got to laugh about it. I would start laughing and they said, what's funny? I just said no. I said, because I'm going to be making so much money. I'm going to be traveling the world. I'm going to be wearing designer clothes. I'm going to have nice jewelry. I'm going to be able to do all these things, and you're going to be so jealous. It's so funny to me. Another thing is, if somebody says no to me and they make fun of what you're doing, has anybody ever made fun of you being a classist? You know, I would say, I'm really glad that you're saying no to me and you're turning me down to join my business. So somebody like you would drag this business down. I was just making a courtesy call. I was hoping you wouldn't say yes to me. Because what could you do for the image of my company? See, how I learned this stuff is my son in the third grade was going to a skating party. And on the way to the skating party, Scotty said, Mama, I'm going to ask little Nicole to skate with me at the skating party. Well, I got nervous. And my heart started beating, and I went, oh, no. What if she says no to him? He's going to be weird the rest of his life. Hoping he would be normal. You know, I didn't want him to be messed up and rejected at a little age like that. I worried about it. Because I knew what that little third grade husky looked like. Have you seen those third grade huskies? You know? High heels to school and wearing makeup and perfume and all that. I thought, she's going to break his heart. Picked him up after the skate party and said, Scotty, did you ask little Nicole to skate with you? And he said, well, yes, Mama, I did. And to prepare him, I said, Scotty, what did she say? Well, Mama, she said yes. And I know that he's going to have rejection. That's part of life. With every gift, there's adversity. With every adversity, there's a gift, you know? I mean, there's always, so to balance that out. Scotty, how would you have felt if little Nicole, saying to myself, little heifer, if she said no to you? And he looked down there and he shook his head and he said, well, Mama, there are 17 other girls in my class. There's over 350 million people in this country alone. Forget about Canada. I'm not even counting that right now. That's never heard of classes. Do you know what a gift that is? You're not some saturated business. Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. I don't know about that. Tell me, I've heard about that years. I've heard about that 25 years. the one that gets the top talks to most people, the one that has more will. Your why has got to be bigger than your why not. Your why has got to be bigger than your why not. Why are you in this business? And when I talked about retiring your husband, I got into this business, and when I would win awards, I'd say to my husband, you know, I really didn't want that new car, but I knew you would look good riding around in that new car. You know, I didn't want to be a member of a country club, but I knew you'd look good on that golf course and that country club sashaying around, because your woman is really good. I didn't want to be successful for me. I wanted it for you. That's the reason I worked as hard. It was for you, not for me. I didn't think this. He believed it. That's the Jesus part of the story. He totally believed when I was going to meetings, if W wasn't for me, it was so he would have all his choices. See, life is a choice, and success is living your life the way you choose, and knowing when to let go of things that aren't working anymore. Because if you keep on doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep on getting what you've been getting, and what you've been getting is what you want, and that's what you got, and that's what you're going to get. Wanting your husband to have a choice. You're making six-figure income, so he doesn't have to step lively for somebody. I understand that part. You don't want to retire him. You want to find him a better job. You want him to have, but retire, I mean, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You don't want him hanging around the house just, you know, saying, well, what am I going to do today? No, baby girl, you want find him choices. He's got choices. We can do things. It's amazing, isn't it? But I mean, that's just my perspective. You don't have to listen to me. I don't have all the answers. I told you that. Got most of them, but I don't have them all. Most important part of your life is not only learning, but loving. Loving. I love y'all so much. This is the kind of audience you want to take with you. You know, you need 3 hugs a day just to keep from being weird. Did you know that? In fact, if you're not getting 3 hugs a day, there's a good reason. You don't deserve them. Can't say it. Because you're not giving them. You only get life for what you give. If you want more love, you give more love. In fact, turn to the person next to you and give them a hug so we can say that you, Jesus, have fun today. Each other, but we hugged and we made up, and I told him I loved him. And she said, no, you know, Rita, I'll never get to tell him that again. But I told him that morning, I loved him. And what that taught me, I don't part company with anybody that I don't say, love you. Because you never hear it enough. And if you want to hear it more, say it. I was talking to the president of Greyhound about doing a speech. I got ready to hang up and I said, love you. Dave, he called me back. I got the speech. It's so important that you tell other people. It's so important that you reward your team. That you tell them how important and how grateful you are. Okay, I know I'm going to use some of my notes. By the way, if you haven't read The Sunday Secret, and you haven't heard The Sanger, I still listen to Earl Nightingale. I listened to it in college. Changed my life. It's called The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. I had dinner with Earl Nightingale once, and he said, people become what they think about all day long. I started changing my thoughts. Also had Dr. Norman Vincent Peale on my show. Did you ever hear The Power of Positive Thinking? You know, he wrote the book, and it was rejected by 7 publishing companies. Do you know he put it in a trash can and he told his wife, Ruth, do not take the book out of the trash can. I will not be embarrassed and humiliated anymore. I'm not going to try to publish The Power of Positive Thinking. He was going to put it in the trash can. She was a dutiful wife. She did not touch the book in the trash can, but she wrapped butcher paper around the trash can and she carried it on a subway to another publishing company that published The Power of Positive Thinking. Now, do you see why you need a mastermind group and you need to network and you need to have people that encourage you? Because you never know. The Power of Positive Thinking. I wrote Funny Side Up. My friend, Dr. John Maxwell, taught me so much about this. I have 9,200 ideas in that about how to earn your, build your business. But let me tell you a good one about the importance of a sense of humor. Like when people say no, laugh. When people succeed, celebrate. I was in a furniture store in Nashville, Tennessee. My sister had gotten Nashville, yes, my hometown. People still say I sound like Nashville a lot. Somebody told me they asked me like Reese Witherspoon. They didn't say I looked like her. They said I sounded like her, okay? Anyway, I was in a furniture store. I was going down some steps, and they had a display of furniture. And I stepped backwards, and I didn't know there was one more step. And I fell backwards, and I grabbed myself with my wrist. I work out 3 times a week with a trainer. I do Pilates twice a week, so I'm pretty agile. And I fell back. This was about 5 years ago. And I broke my wrist. With my sister, who faints easily. Anytime she got an inoculation, a polio shot, she faints. She faints easily, okay? It's not a genetic thing in the family. Just she just happens to have that. But anyway, I'm trying not to act like I'm really hurt so she doesn't faint. And she can't see that my wrist looks like an S shape. I didn't want to say I had on a blazer and everything. So the paramedics came in to help, you know, I had fallen. And the paramedic looked at me and he said, ma'am, what do you do? And I thought, well, let's see. Do I tell them I'm a best-selling author, that I'm a speaker, built a business almost $1 billion? Do I tell them, what do I tell them? I looked straight in his eyes. I said, I'm an exotic dancer. They looked at each other slowly. Didn't say a word, wrote down, exotic dancer. I'm in an ambulance on my way to the hospital. Kind of an older paramedic. Said, ma'am, we're not supposed to ask personal questions, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but just where do you dance? And he wanted to stick me with morphine, and he couldn't see any better than that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're ever in an accident and you want help and asked you what you do, you went in, you sound an exotic dancer. Because right after I said that, 12 paramedics rushed in the door. That's the importance of having a sense of humor when adversity happens. You know, I want to say something. Having an audience like this, so many incredible people in this room. If you or your family are in the military right now, will you stand up, please? If you are fighting for the freedom of our country, will you please stand up?
Right now, I'm getting trouble. I know she can talk about me. I never did any mention.
to me. Oh, time's just up there. I know how important your success, your upline is, but y'all, it's who you build. If you have a great upline emulated, don't become what your people need to see. Become that person. With all Marianne and her team has done, my gosh, all you have to do is connect the dots. That's it. Connect the dots. They're teaching you how to do this, when to do it, why to do it, all of that. Listen, God gave you two ears and one mouth, which means you were supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. For a motivational speaker, that's a challenge, but I do as best I can. And then it says, state your why. Why are you doing this? That's when you write down your goals, a predetermined idea directed toward a desired result. And when you set a goal, you leave your comfort zone. And adventure is when you leave your comfort zone. Why are you in this business? And now let me ask you something. I want everybody to yell out at one time. How is business? No, that ain't the answer. That ain't the answer. Business is unbelievable. It could be unbelievably bad, unbelievably good. You're not lying. You haven't sold anything in a week, but business is unbelievable. All right, let's do it again. Ready? How is business?
Unbelievable.
I love that. Marianne, we might want to add this one more note on here. And you got to learn the four-letter word next. And you have to have courage. This is what Brian Tracy, a friend of mine, love him, reads books and everything, listens to CDs all the time. All outstanding salespeople have reached the point in their business, God, I hope you're there, where they no longer fear rejection. You've got to give yourself a mental enema. And go over to the commode and talk to it. And describe what somebody said or did to you that made you feel bad. You know, people do that. You know the reason people treat you bad? Because they don't feel good about themselves. People that feel good about themselves find good in you. And so when somebody's bad to me, I just feel so sorry for them. But describe what they did and said to you and flush it. Don't go back there anymore. When you have the negative thought, your thoughts say cancel and see the thought the way you choose it to be. See yourself up here on the stage. See yourself in the front. See yourself getting the recognition. Because except for what you expect, strange secret, believe, and picture, I can't do a thing. I'm doing mouth to mouth to you right now. I can't do a thing for you that you don't want to do for yourself. This is a self-help business. You got to help yourself if you want to grow your business. And you do it for everybody to see so they can be inspired. Why do you think I'm up here? Why do you think I'm up here if one of you tells me, like I heard last week, a librarian gave a lady a CD who was suicidal. And she found me and told me, you should see her life today. Listening over and over to a program she'd never heard before. See, I grew up in poverty, and I was told, don't get your hopes up. What good are low hopes? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Don't get your hopes up. Hopes have got to stay up. Because you're building right now what's going to happen to you. You're going to walk away from here, and you're going to say, now what was it she talked about? I don't remember, but... And it's something we had fun. Because I teach with humor. There's an 80% more retention when you learn something while you're laughing and happy and having a good time. That's the reason your meetings need to be fun. People need to have fun when they go there. They want to be around you because you make them feel good. They need to be fun. And I'm running out of time. This is not going to work. I have 18 pages of notes I have not got to. Oh, yes. Here they are. Oh, no. I'm not going to get to that. Let's see here. Oh, that was a good one. I should have had time for that.
Jumped up in the captain's arms
threw his arms around the captain's neck, and he said, "Daddy, that was the most fun flight we ever had." And Daddy is in the cockpit. You don't worry so much, do you? You got Carl and Alec and Mary Ann in the cockpit. You got a lot to look forward to. I love you all. Thank you for having me. Thank you for you.